Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy. How are we doing? It's great to be back. Pray for me though, as Steve was teaching this morning, I started coming down with a headache, but I'm going to give you my best shot. I understand we got some brothers and sisters visiting from South Florida. Can I have you guys go ahead and stand up? It's great to see you guys. I hope you've had a great time in Atlanta. Also, I want to remind us that Thursday night is our dessert appreciation night. We need to bring some dessert to church that needs to be appreciated. Okay? Come to church with a dessert, some kind of drink. We're going to need some of you guys to come early to help set up the gym. And what we'll do is we will start in the sanctuary. Okay, they don't have as many tables in that place like in our old location. And so we will all meet in the sanctuary. I'll say thank you to the people in there, and then we will go into the gym. Okay? And we'll have a great time appreciating the desserts. And then, you guys didn't know that's where that came from? What do you think we've been doing all these years? We'll help clean up, and then, we'll have a great time. And then next Sunday is going to be our Christmas program. Okay, right here, which means we're not going to have any kids' kingdom, so we're all going to come in here. Let's get here early, and we'll start promptly at 10 and have our Christmas program right in here. Amen? This time last week, I was in Budapest. And in case you didn't know, these are two cities. They were kind of opposite each other, and there's a river separating them. Buda on one side and Pest on the other side. Buda was being a Pest. That's a joke. But in 1873, they became one city. And there's actually a bridge that goes across. And one side of the bridge is called Buda, and the other side is actually Pest. And I'm not making that up. That's actually true. But they became one city in 1873. That was where we had the conference. I did not see the sun the whole time I was there. It was cloudy and, overcast the whole time. And I think I inhaled more smoke in 5 days of being there than I've done the last 10 years. I mean, they smoke like crazy in that place. There's no smoking ban. I mean, we came out of the air, but I was like, oh my goodness, I am going to be sick. I mean, but fortunately, that didn't trigger my asthma. I did come down with the flu, but It was really great being there. I want to show you some pictures just to make sure I went. did Richard really go over there? Yes, I did. And also, we talked about this, the World Discipleship Summit that's going to be taking place in San Antonio. We were encouraged to come back home and tell our people to register and to, book their hotels. And the cool thing is, once you can book the hotel, they're not going to charge your card right now until after you come back. Are you with me? And the rooms are filling up very quickly. Right now, they took a very conservative estimate. The conservative estimate right now is 13,000. And they're afraid the thing is going to continue to grow. And Mike Tolliver was even telling me, they're thinking of because the AT&T Center, where we're going to be those evenings, seats 18,000 people. And he's afraid that, we may have to rent another place. Because, the numbers are just coming in. And so, be making your plans. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous time. We've never done anything like this in our fellowship. Where disciples from all over the world come in one place. And that kind of a number. The largest that I can think of was back in the 90s, in the 80s, with Boston. And we're talking about 4,000 people. And it's going to be so cool singing like our God is alive with 13,000 people in the arena. It's going to be incredible. And so we have that to look forward to. Amen? Let's see. This morning, I want to talk to us about looking back, kind of pick up from where Danny left off on Thursday night. ...2011 is about to come to an end, and 2012 is upon us. And if you look at this this year, I'm sure you've had some successes. And I'm sure there have also been some challenges and failures. You say, well, I got no failures. Well, buckle up. Because I think you're going to get some the next year. But that's just life. You know, we have some ups, and sometimes we have some downs. That's just the way it is a lot of times. But it's important to always reflect on where we've been or what we've accomplished and to start preparing our minds for where we would like to go and what we would like to do for God in the new year. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't know about you. This year has gone by very fast. I felt like I blinked and it's December. I mean, it's amazing where this year has gone. It's like, it was just January, just the other day. And it's now December. But let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is going to be our text this morning. This is the last letter the Apostle Paul wrote before he died. And his life was coming to an end. And he penned this letter to Timothy. Our year is coming to an end. And the truth is, some people started 2011, but they are no longer here. And we're here today, there's no guarantee that you and I will be around this time next year. That indeed, God may decide to take us home, or Jesus may come back. But Paul sits down and writes this letter to Timothy, and I want us to look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading from verse 6. He writes, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul is saying here that, you know what? My time to leave this world is almost there for him. The Bible does not record Paul's death. Tradition tells us that he was beheaded by Nero in Rome around 67 to 68 AD. Paul knew his death was imminent. He knew he was about to leave this world. And so he sits down and he writes this final letter to Timothy. In Philippians chapter 1, you can write this verse down in verses 21 to 23. Right there it tells us how he looked forward to being with Jesus. As a matter of fact, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8, it talks about how for him it was far better to leave this world and to go be with Jesus. Are you with me? But he said three things that I want us to remember this morning. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." As we end this year, 2011, I hope every single one of us can say that with confidence. That we fought the good fight in 2011. That we finished the race of 2011. And that we kept the faith in 2011. I'm sure, like I said, you had some challenges this year. Some of us had health issues. Some of us went through, even seeing our loved ones go through health issues. Many of us had financial issues this year. Things are still tough in the economy. Praise God, we have a job that allows us to put food on the table. But I know for many of us, it hasn't been easy. For some of us, we have challenges with our children. Some of us, we had some issues at work. Some with family. But you hung in there and you fought. You see, somebody once said, it's not a question of whether you're going to get knocked down or not. The question is, every time you get knocked down, you're going to get up. And if you think about it, that's really all life is. You and I repeating and going through the same thing. The sun is going to come up tomorrow, then we're going to go through the entire day, and then in the evening the sun is going to go down. And then you and I wake up and we get to do it all over again. And it can get very repetitious, but that's just life. But the most important thing is that no matter what happens, we got to make sure that we're hanging in there and we're fighting. Are you with me? You know, John Becker loves boxing. Okay? And on his car, on the little mirror, you know, he's got a little boxing glove hanging over the thing. He loves boxing. He actually has a huge, you know, punching bag in his basement. And I remember several years ago, and he said, you know what, hey, let's get into punching this bag. And so I went out, believe it or not, I went out and bought me some gloves, boxing gloves. And I would go over to his house, and we'd hit that thing, and he had a clock, and he would say, okay, here goes, 3 minutes, boom. Keep going. Bam. 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 I kid you not. 30 seconds, man. I'm ready to stop. I mean, these guys make it look so easy when you watch on television. He says, no, 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 no. Come on, come on. I said, okay. Come on. And then there's a countdown. I was like, bam. My 3 minutes up, and I sit down breathing heavy. Now it's your turn. And then he goes. That stuff is not easy. It takes a lot of perseverance to keep on going. And you see these guys, they go through 12 rounds of that. You know, I always love it when, you know, you're watching a boxing match and the guys are going toe to toe against each other. No knockdowns, nothing. They just drag on hitting each other. And what happens round 12 when it's all over? The audience is cheering. Not so much about, okay, this guy won the fight or that guy won the fight. The fact that, you know what, they fought through all that stuff. I couldn't be a boxer. I'm sorry. Man, it's, when you hit that bag, it's hard. I can't imagine somebody coming across and just bam, hitting me in the face like that. It's like round one. Okay, I come out. I'm doing my study. The guy goes, bam. I'm going to just fall down. Just give me $1 million. You know? That's one punch. Just hit me. Just give me my check. I couldn't be a boxer. Because it's hard. But the point is, we got to hang in there. Those guys always hang in there. 2011 may have been challenging, but you've got to hang in there. I got news for you. 2012 may be even more challenging for some of us. But we got to decide now that we're going to fight the good fight, that no matter what happens, we are not going to give up. Amen? Another thing you will notice, he said, he finished the race. It takes endurance and perseverance to finish the race. We're familiar with the verse in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where it says, you know what? I press on toward the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He kept on going. He finished the race. Amen? Life is not easy. Anybody that tells you everything is going to be smooth all the time, they're either lying to you or they don't know what they're talking about. Life is challenging. And the awesome thing is, as Christians, we got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, helping us out. Comforting us. Strengthening us. Because God is our God, because God is our refuge, He's always right there helping us out. I don't know how people face this world and face their challenges without God. I don't know how people do it. I really do understand how people can get clinically depressed to the point of where they think, you know what, let me just take my life. And that's the way out. Because life is hard. But the cool thing is, you know, we have Jesus. We have Christ. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And God promises us that, you know what? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen? And that's what helps us get out of bed in the morning. That's what helps us to put one foot in front of the other, even as things are tough. And not only that, we have the Spirit, but then we have other people to help us. That we don't have to go through this alone. Amen? Now, you know what? Help is as simple as a quick phone call away or text message. Amen? There is no shame in saying, you know what? Hey, I need help. There's no shame in saying, you know what? Hey, I'm feeling discouraged. Can we pray together? You got a minute? Can I come over? There's no shame in you just showing up. It's okay. Because we're all in this thing together. We're all in this fight together. You know, I've said it so many times. I'm sure you're tired of me saying it. Satan doesn't really care, I think, that you start following God. He really doesn't. I think he's more concerned that you don't finish. And so, yeah, during that time, there will be times of temptation. There will be things to overcome. But the thing we got to remember is that we don't stay there. That we get the help we need. I mean, in the last, I guess, I found out actually when I was in Budapest that two former evangelists that I know, they're getting a divorce. I was like, what? That hurts. We're talking about men that would get up and flat preach the word. To the point where, you know, the last several years, their marriages have been so messed up that, you know, they're like, okay, you know what? You go your way, let me go my way. And when I say, you don't have that out, I'm sorry. As a Christian, if there is no adultery or there's no abandonment. And so I say that to say, you know what? Let's not think, oh yeah, we're these super spiritual people. That you could never fall. You got to be very, very careful. You got to walk out your salvation on a daily basis with fear and trembling. And finally, notice he kept the faith. He lived a life of faithfulness to his master. Paul kept and gathered the gospel that had been entrusted to him. 1 Timothy 1:11. He maintained the faithfulness to Jesus despite all the challenges he faced. Not everybody's going to understand what you and I are doing. Not everybody's going to believe in God. A lot of people look at us and they say, you know what? You actually believe in a heaven? In a God? As if we got problems. It's like, isn't that for people who have real issues? They have to believe in some kind of being that's out there to make them feel better. I said, no, you got it backwards. But you see, we got to keep the faith. We got to stand up for our convictions. We got to stand up for what the Bible teaches and not apologize for it. You know, last Sunday morning in Budapest, I was sick as a dog. I didn't sleep the whole night. And I said, I'm going to church, man. And so I dragged myself in there. And you know, I was, you know, feeling cold and everything, but I said, Douglas Arthur was preaching. He says, I'm going to church. And so, he's preaching, doing a fantastic job. And he was sharing a story about his son, where his son was in a philosophy class in college, and the professor obviously doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe there's a God. And he asks the question, he says, how many of us in this class believe that there is a heaven? And every hand in the class went up. Thanks. Put your hands down. As a matter of fact, I said, keep your hands up. So now, how many of you who believe that there is heaven believe that there is a hell? And every hand went down. Except for his son. He kept his hand up. And so the teacher said, well, tell us. Since you're the only one who believes in a hell, you know, explain yourself, defend yourself. And he stood up. And he said, all of us in here that raised our hand, the whole concept of heaven you got from the Bible. See, that's number one. That's where you got it from. It says, but when I read my Bible, there is also a second destination called hell. The Bible doesn't talk about one place, it talks about two places. The guy goes, okay, let's move on. But you see, the point is, we got to be willing to stand up for our convictions and not apologize for it. The Bible is very clear about certain things. But we got to keep the faith, we got to hold on. Amen? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is where we're going to close out. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is describing some of the challenges that he's faced in his life and in his ministry. And I want to share this passage with us because a lot of times, sometimes we think, wow, you know, things are really hard for me. My life is really hard, man. Nobody understands. You know, nobody's gone through what I'm going through. Well, I got news for you. Let's look at some of the stuff that Paul went through here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading in verse 23. He says, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone, without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak that I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin that I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be praised forever. Knows that I am not lying, and will stop there. I don't know about you. Regardless of the challenges I've faced in 2011, or even in my entire Christian life, it does not even begin to compare with what Paul went through. And yet, at the end of his life, he was able to say, you know what? I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award to me on that day. But it says, not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. That's you and me too. Amen? And that's why, no matter what happens, no matter where we're at, no matter what has happened this year, you can't just look at what's in front of you. And so, I'm not saying that all we think about right now and look forward to is the year 2012. This time next year, 2012 will be almost over. I'm trying to help us understand that, you know what, you got to always keep your focus and your mind on the finish line. That one day, it's going to be all worth it. We're going to receive a crown of righteousness. We get a chance to be with God forever. we get a chance to just be with people that we read about in the Bible and just have eternal fellowship. Eternity. That's a long time. I'm not even sure watches are not going to exist in heaven. Because we're not going to be keeping time. And so as we look forward to next year, I want us to count our blessings. I want us to, over the next couple of weeks, reflect and thank God that you're still standing, that you're still here. And I want you to start thinking about the kind of person you want to be and what you want God to do in your life in the new year. It doesn't just happen. I want you to take some time out to think about it, to pray about it, and to get yourself ready. Because I really believe that as a church, collectively, we ain't seen nothing yet. God is not through with us yet. We're just getting started. So it's always good to look back. But we always continue to make sure that we're always looking forward. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. So that one day, we get to spend eternity with Him. Amen? We're meant to have a leaders meeting this afternoon at 5. If it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and cancel it. I'm going to go home and just try and take some medication and get into bed. Say, Richard, how about the stuff we need to talk about? I'll send the email out. Thank God for email. But we'll be back here next Sunday for our Christmas program. Thursday night, we'll be back at our midweek location. Come with your desserts and drinks. We'll provide the paper products and stuff. We'll have a great time together. Remember, we'll start in sanctuary and then make our way into the gym. We're going to close that down with a word of prayer. God bless you all.
Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the words of wisdom that you put on Richard's heart about fighting the good fight, Father, and hanging in there, Father, through trials and tough times. Father, we have times of refreshing, but we also have really tough times, Father, especially during this holiday season. There are those who miss loved ones, and sometimes it's the most depressing time of the year for a lot of people. I pray that you be with them, Father. Help them to stick it out, Father, and lean on you through everything, Lord. Father, you also told us in your word that we for your sake face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, and know in all things that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For we are convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in our creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Lord. I also pray not just for this year, but the 2012 that we're embarking on, Lord. I pray that you be with us and you comfort us. You give us the faith, hope, and love to persevere for your sake, Lord. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us. See us home safely. These things and all things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.